Right, starting six lines down in Yotarim and Aleph, the two dads. Where it says, Tan Hotom. We have a Mishnah in Shabbos. Kohen shalaka be'etzba'o. A Kohen who has a wound on his finger. Korech alei gemi b'migdash. In Migdash, he's allowed to put a reed around that wound. Aval lo b'medina. One cannot do this. One cannot add a gemi, put a reed around such a wound when they're outside the Migdash. Im lo tzimi men adam. If it's to remove the dam or have the dam come out of the finger, kan v'kan asur. It's asur in both locations, both in the Migdash as well as in the Medina. So the question or the issue that we're discussing over here is issue of big day kahuna, which we've been dealing with until now. How many big day kahuna can you have on and still be okay? And we saw yesterday that you can't have any extra big day kahuna and you can't be missing any big day kahuna. So over here, the person is putting a bandage around the wound. Question, the issue that we're going to see in a second is whether that's considered to be an extra beged when you place a bandage on the wound. Right now, we're just quoting the Mishnah from Shabbos, which is that the Kohen and the Mikdash can put a gemi on a wound. As Rashi says, Shekinai hu shetireh. It's not appropriate for the Kohen to be visible with such a wound in the Mikdash. And what's the problem? Problem is that there's an isur midrabonon of refuah on Shabbos. And so Rashi says, "Bechol davar sheishu mishum refuah sur mishum shvut gzeira shem mishkofs mananim." The problem is that you maybe you'll crush in a pestle and mortar, you'll crush the medicine or the medication that you need. So any form of refuah that takes place on Shabbos is restricted midrabonon. That's only b'medina. That's only inside the mikdash. But we know there's a principle in the Mikdash that ain't Shavut b'Mikdash. There are no Isur d'Rabbanon, and Isur d'Rabbanon don't apply inside of the Mikdash. So that Isur d'Rabbanon of Refuah is waived in the Mikdash, and the Kohen can place the Gemi on his finger in order to continue his performance of the Avodah in the Mikdash without it looking inappropriate or being a Gnai towards the Mikdash. So Rashi says the issue is Shema Ishchok Smanim. Tosfos on the other end says that the gzeira over here is the gzeira atu, what would happen in the second half of the Mishnah. The second half of the Mishnah says you can't do it in order to be lehotzi dam, to squeeze blood out of the finger. So that you can't do whether it's in the Mikdash or in the Medina. And therefore the placing of the gemi on the finger is gzeira atu lehotzi dam. Maybe you'll come and squeeze the dam out. So we don't let you put the gemi on because you might come to squeeze the dam out. So that, preventing that, is a gzeira d'rabbanan. And that's why it's not allowed in Medina. And again, it's waived in the Mikdash. Although the Tosfos Nian says that in the Yerushalmi, it does sound like Rashi, that the problem here is Shema Yishchok Smanim. Then we have a statement. Am Rabbi Yehuda Brei de Rabbi Chia, Lo Shanu El Gemi. It only works when you place a reed on the finger. Avel Tziltzul Katan, Have a Yitur Bigadim. But if he puts on a small, we'll call it a bandage, but a small cloth bandage that he puts on his finger, that already becomes a yitur begadim, an extra big day kehuna. Rashi calls the tzilzul here a bendel. So it's a small bendel. Maybe in the Yiddish today, that's what they would call bandage. It would be a bendel. It's a small cloth bandage that you put on top. That's impermissible because a kohen would be classified as yitur begadim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Lo Amro Yitur Begadim El Makom Begadim. You can only talk about an extra begad when we're talking about the location where he normally wears begadim. The finger is not in a location where there's normally a begad. So you can't call that Yitur Begadim. Ava Shlo B'Makom Begadim. Like on the finger, Lo Avi Yitur. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a problem whatsoever. So when it says, V'typically Mishum Chatzitzo. Wait a minute. We have a more basic problem here. Is if he has something on his finger, that's chutzeitz when he comes to do the avoda. It separates between him and what he's coming into contact with. So the Gemara gives two answers. Small. The wound on his left hand, not on his right hand. And he's doing the avoda with his right hand, so there's no problem with chutzeitza. Inami, shalob makom avoda. Or it's in a location that doesn't affect the avoda. For instance, the back of the hand or the back of the finger. Well, you don't, that doesn't matter for the avoda. The avoda involves the palm of the hand, the internal hand. In the back of the hand, that's not going to be a chatzitza. So we solved that problem. It's not a problem of chatzitza because the wound is in such a location that it doesn't affect the avoda. Upligi de Ravo. And this argues on Ravo. Amar Ravo, Amar Rav Chista. Bimakum begedim. In the location of begedim, afilu nima achat chutzetzet. Even a single hair is problematic. Shelo bigon begadim, in a location where there is no bigadim, in like for instance the finger, then you need shosh al shalosh chotzetzet. You need something of chashivut. You need a begid of chashivut in order to be chotzetzet. But chot mikan, less than that, is inan chotzetzet. That doesn't cause a chatzitza. So the analyze, we start here with the Havamino, is that Rava argues on both. Rabbi Yehuda braid the Rav Chia and on Rabbi Yochanan. Because neither of them have such a distinction that he makes. First of all, Rabbi Yehuda braid the Rav Chia makes no distinction between Makom Megadim and no Makom Megadim. And Rabbi Yochanan, who even makes such a distinction, but doesn't make any distinction in size. He doesn't make any qualification in size. So our assumption here is that he argues on both of them. Mar says, well, Ad Rabbi Yochanan, Vadai Pligit. When it comes to Rabbi Yochanan, he definitely argues, because Rava requires Shalosh HaShalosh to be a Chatzitza, or here, Chatzitza doesn't literally mean to be a Chatzitza. The word Chatzitza here is mean to use, or being used as, or in place of Yitor Begadim. And if it's Shalosh HaShalosh, it's an extra Begad, and it's problematic, according to Rava. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, even a Tzilzul Katan is no problem, and he doesn't qualify that. He doesn't say Shalosh HaShalosh, he doesn't give any qualification whatsoever. Who says that he argues? Shiny tzilzul katan de chashiv. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda Brei de Rav Chia would agree with Rabbi Yochanan. That true, you do need shalosh shalosh to be a problem of yitur begadim. But tzilzul katan is unique because it's a chashiv beged. It has a shame of its own. It has its own name. It has its own significance. So if what we're looking for is significance over here, and that's what Shalosh HaShalosh tells us, Shalosh Etzbaot or Shalosh Etzbaot tells us that's a significant begad, then Tzilzul Katan, which has its own name, might classify as a chashivut for a begad. So you won't need Shalosh HaShalosh there. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda Baruch here, in principle, agrees to Rabbi Yochanan. He just doesn't, the qualification of Shalosh HaShalosh is not the only qualification to make something chashuv. If it has its own shame, it also be chashuv. So that's the first Lishna of the Gemara. Now the Lishna Achrino is Amrila, Amra Biyuda Breda Vechia, Loshana Elegemi, Aval Tzilzul Katan Chutzetz. So Rabbi Yehuda Breda Vechia is the same statement. But Rabbi Yochanan now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Amru Chatzitza B'Pachot Mishalosh Al Shalosh El B'Makom B'Gadim. Av Shalosh B'Makom B'Gadim Shalosh Al Shalosh Chutzetzet. So now Rabbi Yochanan says, now we've amended Rabbi Yochanan here in the Lishna Achrina, says that there's no chatzitza with less than 3x3, el b'makom b'gadim. Aval shalo b'makom b'gadim, shalosh shalosh chotzetzet. And therefore, by when we have 3x3, when there's no b'gadim, then it's chotzetz, again, meaning yitur b'gadim. Pachod miken, eno chotzetzet. Less than that is not considered yitur b'gadim. Ve'ainu derova. Amar Rav Chista. This is the statement of Rava, which is what we saw before. It's identical to what Rava said before. So, under the Rav Chista. So, Mar says, Lema de Pliga ad Rabbi Yehuda Breid Bechia. Let us say that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rava disagree with Rabbi Yehuda Breid Bechia. Mar says, maybe not. Again, Shiny Tziltzul Katan de Choshiv. That may be the same thing. In principle, Rabbi Yehuda Breid Bechia agrees to the distinction made by Rabbi Yochanan and Rava that by Makom Begadim, even less than Shalosh HaShalosh is Chutzetz, or is a problem. Outside of where the Begadim are, Shalosh HaShalosh determines that it's significant and it becomes a Yitur Begad. So maybe he agrees in principle to that. He just says that it's Tzilzul Katan is Chashuv, even though it's not Shalosh HaShalosh, it itself is Chashuv, and it replaces the need for Shalosh HaShalosh, and that's why it's a problem of Yitur Begad, even Shalosh B'Makom Begadim. So Mer says about Rabbi Yochanan, well, let us say here that Rabbi Yochanan, Mayiri Agemi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even if Shalosh HaShalosh is really the determining factor over here, then why did the Mishnah pick Gemi as the example? Leshmeinu and Tzilzul Katan. It would have been much more of a chiddush to tell us about Tzilzul Katan. I mean, the fact that Gemi is not a problem, even Rabbi Yehuda Brei de Ruchia agrees with that. Nobody disagrees with a gemi because a reed is not a beged. So there everybody agrees. The question became with Tzilzul Katan, where it's made out of material, the same material as a beged, that's where the issue arises. So it would be a bigger chiddush if the Mishnah told us that he could put on a Tzilzul Katan. So Milta Agavorfei Kamashmalan. The Mishnah, as an aside, taught us something, which is the gemi masi. That reeds are good, they have curative properties to them, and therefore they're good to use as a bandage for the wound. So that's what the Mishnah, and Ochanami, the Mishnah should have used Tzilzul Katan. But the Mishnah wanted to teach us that only can you use such an item But we also want to tell you that gemi works the best as a cover for the wound and helps to heal the wound. Okay, so now, the Gemara is going to have a series now of questions about what's considered to be problematic, and the Gemara is really not going to answer any of them, just going to present these questions. Boy Rova, nichnasa lo ruach bibigdo, mahu. What happens if an air pocket got inside of his beged? Somehow some wind blew through, and it pushed, separated between him and his beged. Albasaroba inan valeka. Do we need the beged to be on his body, literally on his body? It has to be, we'll call it quote unquote skin tight. It has to be touching the body. Odilma derech labisha b'kach. Or do you just say that normally people have clothing on? The clothing doesn't always touch the body. The clothing sometimes has some air, some space between the body and the beged. That's okay. Kina mahu shetachutz. A louse. What's the din of a louse in terms of being a chatzitza? Meita loti baylach. A dead louse. Nothing to talk about. Divide chaitza. That for sure is a chatzitza. Chayamai. If it's a live louse, that's the question. Mi aminan came into ato v'azla revitahi. Since lice move around, they come, they go. That's part of the natural growth. I mean, it's part of his body. V'lo chaitza, and therefore it's not chotzitz. Odilma came into kapid Allah. But no, maybe because someone, if they knew they had a louse on their body, would be upset about that, would want to remove it. Therefore, a chaitza. Therefore, they're a problem. Mar just leaves it. Afar mahu shichutz. Afar, dirt. What would be the status of dirt in terms of a chatzitza? Mar says, afar vaydei chaitz. What's there to talk about? Of course, if a person has dirt caked on their body, that would be a chatzitza. There's nothing to ask. Ela avak afar mahu. So the question is about what happens if you have like some fine dust on you. Something fine that's not like thickly caked on. But fine dust that's not really so visible, something that person's not so makbid on. What's the din? Again, the Gemara leaves it. Beit teshechi, mashu yichichichotz. In the underarm. What's the din in terms of being chutzetz? So in the, really, the underarm meaning the area, the airspace under one's arm. So al basaro ba'inan. Again, we want it to be skin tight and touching his basar. And under his armpit, it's not that way because of the gap, va'aleka. Oh, dilma derech levisha b'kach. Normally, when a person has a shirt on, they have a little bit of a gap underneath their beit hashechi, underneath their armpit. Their armpit doesn't touch the beged necessarily. They don't want it skin tight there. Hichnis yadol l'toch cheiko mahu. Person places his arm inside, up against his chest. Gufo, what is it? Is that a din? Gufo michayitz. Does your own body classify as a chatzitza? Olo? Or maybe not. I mean that when you stick your arm in, because your arm classify as a chatzitza, or just since it's part of your body, it's not considered a chatzitza. Nima mauzhu techutz. What's the din of a thread about being a chatzitza? Nima vadai chaitza. For sure a thread would be chotzeitz. Ela nima medulgelet mahu. What's the din of a nima? I mean it's still part of the beged. It's still attached to the beged, but it's pulled out of the location nitka miikara. It's pulled out of where its source is. It's not its end that was originally part of the beged. That's pulled out, but they still stuck in between, say some stitches, still stuck in the beged, but not necessarily attached, we'll call it, to the beged. So what's the din there? Bayimar Ravashi. Yotza si'aro bebigdo mahu. If his hair is by his beged, what would it be? Now Rashi explains, what's yotza si'aro bebigdo? Rashi says, yotza si'aro mi rosho. This is his hair from his head, lamata. His hair grew down to the point, ad shenichnas bem ketonot b'saro, till it was between his tunic and him. His hair was long enough that it actually separated, it was a chatzitza between him and his tunic. It's interesting that such a question, we know that by Kohen, he can't be right, it can't be paru rosh. He has to get a haircut every 30 days. I'm not sure how he got his hair long enough that it was actually separating between him and his ketonet, but somehow that happened. So what's the din? Saroki gufo dami. Is his hair classified like being a part of his body, and therefore there's no chatzitza? Olavki gufo dami. Maybe not it's a part of body, and it is a chatzitza. Bari Rabbi Zera. Tfilin mashu shichotzu. Again, tfilin. Are they a chatzitza? Aliba demanda amar, Laila loves man tfilin. If you say that Laila is not the time of tfilin, loti bailach. There is no question here. Kamen de Laila chaitzi, yom nami chaitzi. Since at night, for sure, the tefillin are chatzitza because it's not their zman, and therefore they can't be considered a part of your goof. Then certainly during the day, they are also not classified as being a part of the goof, and they would be chutzetz. It's very interesting. Why? Why would it not be chutzetz? Why would you say tefillin are not chutzetz? So Rashi says here, Tevadei chaitzi, when it talks to about loti bailach, vadei chaitzi, the first time, it came into bevadot laila chaitzin, tehalo mitzvah havo. It's not a mitzvah at night, so therefore it's void vadei chaitzi. Tenehave kegufe, mishom chaviviuta de mitzvot. Since he loves the mitzvah so much, it becomes a part and parcel of his goof. It's an amazing concept. That since he's such chavivuta to the mitzvah, when he's performing the mitzvah then becomes batel to his goof, because a part of his goof. Because that love of the mitzvah. We consider tefillin to be a part of his goof, because of a chavivuta, the mitzvah. You can answer, and the Gemara does mention this later on, but it's a mitzvah begufo. It's a mitzvah begufo, and it's fastened to his goof. And maybe that becomes batel to the goof, in the sense that that's what he has to wear. It becomes part of the goof. But to say mishum chavivuta mitzvah, that becomes chelik of his goof, I think that's interesting, that Rashi phrases it that way. Right now, diyom nami chaitzi, Rashi says, dimlokein matino vadat laila chamir me vadat yom. If you say that it's chotzeitz during the night, and not during the day, then you also then you have now a distinction between avadot yom and avadot laila. That means during the day, you can wear tefillin, no problem. It's not chotzeitz in the begadim. All of a sudden you have to do avodah at night, you have tefillin on, chotzeitz, problematic. But we know that there's a general principle, that avodat yom is always more chomer than avodat laila. So now you would have something where avodat laila is more chomer than avodat yom. That he can wear tefillin during the yom, and he cannot wear tefillin at night. So that would be unacceptable. So if it's for sure it doesn't work at night, then it's definitely not going to work during the day, otherwise you're going to end up with this absurdity. You have at night, you have a chumra that does not apply during the day. Alright, kiti bailach. So the question is, the mandar malai loves mantfilin. According to what says mantfilin, my mitzvah de gufei chayitz, this is how I would have phrased it, right? That's what Rashi says. A mitzvah is guf, is chayitz, or lo chayitz. When you have a mitzvah be gufo, does that become batel to the guf or not batel to the guf? That's the Gemara's question. Again, Rashi adds this additional aspect of chavivuto, the mitzvah, that makes it batel to the guf or not. Igalgo milto, umato le kamei de Rabbi Ami. The question bounced around and landed by Rabbi Ami. Amalei, Talmud Aruchu B'yadeinu, we have a clear Mesorah, that tefillin chutzutzot, tefillin are definitely chutzetz. Meitevei, Kohanim b'avodotam, Ulevim b'duchanam, v'Yisrael b'mamadam, pturim minat tefila u'minat tefillin. So Kohanim are doing avodah, the Levim, who are on the duchan, who are singing, playing musical instruments, and Yisrael b'mamadam, who are the representative of Klal Yisrael, who appear to be there by the Tamid, that they have to represent Klal Yisrael and bring in the Korban, because you need the Balim of the Korban to be there. All each of them is Pturim from Davening, and also Pturim from the Tefillin. My love, Iminicham Inan Chotzotzot. Yes, they're Potur from Tefillin, but if they did put them on, they would not be Chotzetz. They're just Potur because of Osik B'mitzvah, Potur Mina Mitzvah. But Ein Ochanami, if they put them on, they wouldn't be problematic. Rambam says, lo, iminicham chotzotzot. So now, you know, if you put them on, they're chotzetz. Rambam says, iochi pturim, then what is the bright to say patur? Asurim mibayle, it should be asur to put them on. So it says, well, kekem into ika levim v'israelim. Wait a minute, you have a levi in Israel. By levi Israel, the problem of putting on the tefillin is not because it's chotzetz. They don't have any big day kahuna to worry about there. They just have a problem about that they are pturim. They don't have to put on tefillin because they're osik b'mitzvah, poter mina mitzvah. So that's why it's a lomatni leit. So asur mishum hachi tana pturim. So by Yisrael and a Levi, you can't write asur. You can only write patur. So since you wrote patur, they included the kohen in the same statement of patur. But in Ochanami, maybe by a kohen, you could write the word asur. And the problem for the kohen is chatzitza, not just the problem that he's osik b'mitzvah, poter mina mitzvah. What is interesting over here is that we generally don't say osik b'mitzvah, poter min mitzvah, when efshel l'kayim shnehem, when you could do both of them. Right? That's the famous Tosfos and the Rishonim by Prutu de Rav Yosef. By Prutu de Rav Yosef, someone who's osik with, has an aveda in his house, doesn't have to give tztaka to an ani. So it says, what do you mean? Anytime you're osik b'mitzvah, you don't have to do anything? I have a mezuzah on my door. I'm wearing tzitzis. I don't have to do any more mitzvot anymore? But it's not called osik b'mitzvah, poter min mitzvah. Because efshel l'kayim shnehem. One of them doesn't prevent the other one from being done. So that only in a case where he's osik, but the aveda, he's clearing out the aveda, he's doing something with it. In that instance, do you say you're potur from giving tzedakah? But if you can do both, you're not potur. So over here, you say the same thing, you have the same question, which is, okay, osik mitzvah, potur and mitzvah, But maybe they could have time to do both. Tefillah, maybe you can see, maybe they don't have time. But tefillin, quickly put on their tefillin and have time. I'm not sure. But it seems that the Brayta feels they didn't have enough time to do both of them. They were running around and had to rush to be there. Not sure why. And they did start maybe prior to Zman Tefillin, which is when they started. But we know that in other places you could put them on and mashmish b'hem afterwards. Or maybe they had a break later in the morning. I mean, they were going nonstop the whole morning that they couldn't put on tefillin. I'm not exactly, or all day, actually. It would be all day that they couldn't put on tefillin. Yeah. So it's interesting. Bahatanya. We have an explicit brisa. Imeneichanan, ein chutzitzot. If you put some on, they're not chutzitz. So here we have Rabbi Ami saying that we have a Talmud Aruch v'yadeinu, that they are chutzitz. And here we have a brisa that says they're not chutzitz. Lo kasha. That's not a question. Hadiyad, hadrosh. Depends which tefillin you're talking about. You're talking about the tefillin shel yad, or talking about the tefillin shel rosh. Maishna. What's the difference between them? Maishna the Yad Iftiv Yobash Al Bisaro, because it says by the Yad, by the big dekuna Yobash Al Bisaro, it'll place it on his arm. Shloye Davar Chotez Ben Ol Bisaro, nothing between the Beged and his Basar. The Rosh Nami Iftiv Samta Mitznefet Al Rosho. The same limud by Samta Mitznefet, put the hat on his head, and Shloye Davar Chotez Ben Ol Ben Rosho. Should be nothing between the Mitznefet, so that can't be the reason. So Tana. We have a Mishnah. This is, I think, what you were referring to earlier, Tzvi. Sarawa Yanira ben Sitz le Mitznefet. The Seyar of the Kohen Gadol used to appear between the Tzitz and the Mitznefet. Shesham Minichin Tfilin. And that's where he placed the Tfilin. So the Kohen Gadol had to wear a Mitznefet. He had a hat. He had the Tzitz, which went across his forehead. And between the two of them, there was a piece of his hair sticking out, and that's where he placed his Tfilin. So according to Rashi, this is the din. Truthfully, both the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh are chutzitz. They're a problem. If they were underneath the big dekuna, they would be problematic. It just happens to be that the tefillin shel yad is in a place where you can't get around it being under a big dekuna, because he has his arm, the sleeve of the ketonet is there. It has to be under his big dekuna, and therefore it's clearly problematic. Shel rosh, why is shel rosh not problematic? It's not because it's not chutzitz. Shel Rosh is not a problem because you can place it somewhere where it will not be a problem for the big dekuna. And that's what Rashi says. V'tana Yitzhak L'Shminan, imeneichan ein chotzot mishum yitur begadim. It's not chotzot because of yitur begadim. Hay Yitzhak L'Shminan t'la begedu. So that's what he's coming to teach us. They're coming to teach us not that it's chotzot or not chotzot, because we know he can place it in a location where it won't be chotzot at all. Ah, so what's the din by Tvil and Rosh that's not a problem? But it's not a problem of yitur begadim. It's not a problem that I added an extra beged here by putting on my tefillin shel rosh. So tefillin shel yad he can't wear because that's chutzitz between the beged and the arm. Tefillin shel rosh, no problem of chatzitza because there's a location where you can put it on that's not chutzitz. What's the problem? The problem is yitur begadim, and the brayta comes to tell us, ein chutzitz. There is no problem of yitur begadim when it comes to shel rosh. That's the way Rashi reads it. The other Tosfos in the Pirkei Avot says, no. The whole sugi here is talking about chatzitza. Why did you all of a sudden bring in yitur begadim over here? So he says, Parashat Kodesh, he brings down Rashi, that the Mahavi Yitur Begadim, we have Sharlo Markein, Daka Mar, Limud Aruch, the Tefillin Chotzitzot, Ubishel Viyad Ayri, Bishel Rosh, Amrin, and Besamoch, Dein Chotzitzot. It's very clear that we're talking about Chatzitza, Ein Chatzitza. So it means that Yad is Chotzitz, Rosh, Ein Chotzitz. So he says, I don't understand what Rashi is saying. He also brought in terms of Yitur Begadim. So Mio, if you look down towards the end of the Tosfos, it says, "Had the Tanya ain chotzitzos, umklina mishal rosh la bishum chidush." One possibility Tosfos says is there's no chidush that the rosh is not chotzitz. Ella shlo yechatzah ki im she'in mishum yitur begadim im lo the tomar the kamashulan the saru hayanir eh. So that's it. It's not about yitur begadim. It's just about the fact that you can put the shorosh on because the hair sits between. The whole chidush of the brayta comes to teach us that there is a way to put on tefillin. You can have it between the tzitz and the mitznefet. And that's what it's coming to tell us. There's no problem with chatzitza because there is such a location. That's one possibility. Inami, kamashwan do chatzitzi tachat ptile tzitz. That's another big thing. What happens? Your tefillin shorosh, fine, you found a location up here in the front of his hair where you can place the tefillin. But the straps, the jutsur of the tefillin go around to the back. The tzitz is held on by ptile tchelet that are tied behind the head of the kohen. They will run over the straps of the tefillin. So that's what Tosfos says. The Ritzut or the Tefillin are not Chutzetz for the Ptilei Tchelet that hold on the Tzitz. Maybe that's when it's Eino Chutzetz. So Tosa says, I can't see, I don't see what Rashi's saying here, that we're talking about Yitur Begadim. The whole sugya is talking about Chatzitza, and also you want to enter in Yitur Begadim to solve your problem? No. We're talking about Chatzitza. If that's the case, then why show Rosh HaChiddush? You're placing it somewhere where there, of course, there's no Chatzitza. So he says, you're right, there's no Chiddush about Chatzitza, it's just a Chiddush that there is such a location. That's what the Mishnah teaches. There is such a location where you can put his tefillin. And you can say and or, there's also this additional idea that the Ritzuot are not mafsik when it comes to the Ptilei Tchelet of the Tzitz that run over them. Tosus remains that it's a problem of Chatzitza, not a problem of Yitur Bigadim. Gemara now continues with what we have in our Mishnah, the next list in our Mishnah, which is Mechusar Kippurim. Mechusar Kippurim is in our Mishnah, and the list in the Mishnah, those that are Mechalal Avodah, Mechusar Kippurim is someone who is required to bring a Korban to be Tahor, and they have yet to bring the Korban. They've gone to the Mikveh, the sun set, they're Tahor, except they have a Korban that's left to be brought. So instances like Mitzora, Zav, those that have that requirement, El Yoledet. So Gemara says, well, it says by the Yoledet, that she will be kapara, they'll bring the karbanot of the yoledet, and then she'll be tahor. The fact that she became tahor now implies that she was tamei beforehand. And we know that a tamei is michalel avodah. Someone is tamei, the michalel avodah in the mikdash. So if we know by tamei and tevul yom, now that we know by mechusar kippurim that you classified as a tamei, then certainly there will be a problem of Michalel Avuda. Shalom Rechutz Yadayim Raglayim. Someone doesn't wash their hands and their feet. Achia Chuka Chuka Mi Mechusar Begadim. We saw this earlier in the Perek, which is that we have a Gzeira Shava, three-way Gzeira Shava between Mechusar Begadim, Shtui Ayin, and over here, Rechutz Yadayim Raglayim. So that's what we have. Achia Chuka Chuka Mi Mechusar Begadim. Just like Mechusar Begadim is Michalel Avuda, so too the lack of washing one's hands and legs is also a problem of Michalel Avuda. Tarabanan, Kohen Gadol Shlo Taval, Vishlo Kidesh. Kohen Gadol didn't do a tevila and didn't wash his hands. Ben Beged the Beged, Uben Avodah the Avodah, Vavada Vatau, Ksheira. So this is met the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, he has a requirement to go and change his Begadim between the big day Zav and the big day Lavan. He does five times, he does a change, and each of those times he has to go to the mikveh. He has to do two washings of hands, one before each and one afterwards. There's a machlokes about when exactly he does the one beforehand, but he washes his hands. So in that case, the brings down a braita that says, if he forgets to do it, he skips it, not a problem, it's not mechalel avodah. Ve'echad kohen gadol, ve'echad kohen yajot, that's only true when it comes to those that did during the day, or the middle of the day. But when it comes to kohen gadol, shalokideh she'adav glav shacharit, before he started the avodah, v'vad v'atop psula, then it's mechalel. So the initial washing of the hands and the legs, that is ma'akev, and if you don't do that, it's mechalel avodah. On the other hand, the washing of the hands and the mikveh that are involved in the middle of the day of Yom Kippur, those are not ma'akev, and they're not mechalel the avodah of the kohen gadol. So Amar le Rav Asi the Rav Yochanan Mechte Chamesh Tvilot Vasara Kiddushim Doraita. They're mina Torah. Vechuka Ktivo Le Akvo. We have by the Parsha of Achrei Mot when it describes the Avodah Yom Kippurim. That's where Chazal learned out that there have to be five Tvilot and 10 washing of the hands and legs. And in that Parsha, the Parsha ends with the term Chuka. It says Vaitalahem Lechukat Olam Bechodesh Hashvi Besor Lechodesh. So we have the word chukah, which applies to the whole parsha. So now if you have that, chukah is la'akev. Tells you that it's ma'akev. So why are you telling me that it's not ma'akev? Why are you telling me that if he doesn't do it, it's not mechalel levodah? So Malay Amakra, Pasuk says, by the clothing, ulevesham. It says that he will wear them. Levisha me'akevet, ve'en davar acher me'akev. Levisha is me'akev, and nothing else. So let's understand this. The Torah already gave the whole parsha, gave a big Parsha of Achrei Mot, the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, and it ends it off with this term, Chukah. The Chukah applies to the whole Parsha. Anything that's written in it is Ma'akev. Then why do you have, by Ulevesham, you have a separate limud by Ulevesham, which is included in the Parsha, that says, Levisha Ma'akevet Vein Devar Acher Ma'akev. Why is it Yotze Min HaKlal? Why is that Yotze Min HaKlal? So that comes along to tell you, this is what Rabbi Yochanan suggests, that comes to tell you that anything in the Pasuk Ulevesham, anything found in that Pasuk, Levisha is ma'akev, but nothing else. What else is found in the pasuk of Levisham? The rechitza yadayim reglaim and the tevila. Those found in the same pasuk. So what? That one pasuk, Levisha is ma'akev, but nothing else in that pasuk. What's nothing else? The rechitza yadayim reglaim and the tevila. Why do we learn this out of Levisham? So Rashi says over here, Shina katub Levisha la'akev dechtiv yobash u'levisham. It says it twice. It says in the pasuk Yobash and Ulvei Sham. So because you have the word manifested twice there, therefore the pasuk is telling you it's Me'akev. But it's only Me'akev the Gabe Levishan that pasuk, not the Gabe the Tvila and the Rechitza. So Avupanav, Rav Ashi's face lit up. He says, wow, what a great answer. So Amalei, Vava Uftu Ketavti Lecha. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't know why your face is lighting up. I just gave you, a pile of hot air here. The answer I gave you is not a good answer. So Rashi just says, what is Vava Ufta Ketiv Lecha? There's two possibilities here. It says, I wrote a Vav on a Bik'ah. On a, let's say, a log of wood. I wrote a Vav. Well, you can't see a vav on a log of wood because a vav is a straight line, and a lot of a split wood, they're also the grain of the wood that is running. So how do you differentiate between the vav and the grain of wood? You can't see it. So that's what you say. I wrote you a vav on the wood where the grain's running that way. So you can't tell. I told you something that's not meaningful. The other possibility of a vav of a ufta is that the rows of the bikav, the splitting of the wood, are called vavin. I gave you something that was like the grain of the wood. You can't tell that I made it there or it's not there. It was there before. What about the morning tefillah and the Yitzhidu Shidem Raglaim? Here we're talking about the 10 times that he does the washing with the hands and the 5 times he does the tefillah. Then how come the bright only answers the later 4 and the later 8? Those are not me'akev. But the first two, Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim and the first tefillah, is me'akev. So why is it that way? Why is it that the first one is me'akev? According to even the way I'm explaining it, it should be excluded from the parasha totally and it's not me'akev at all. Where it says, Amar Chizki, I can answer that. Amar Kra, Vayta Lehem Chak Olam, Lo Ulezaro, Ledorotam. Davar Makev Bezaro, Makev Bo. Something that's a problem for his Zaro, meaning all Kohanim. What's a problem for all Kohanim? All Kohanim must be Richutz Yadayim Raglaim before they enter into the Mikdash. That's also Makev Bo. That's a problem for the Kohen Gadol. Davar Sheinu Makev Bezaro, something that doesn't have Makev Bezaro because they don't do it, which is the other Tfilot, Kiddush Yadayim, and Makev Bo. That's not Makev by him. Yochanan Amar Miyachai, come on from here. It says, Barkatu Mimena Moshe Be'aron Uvanav. Davar Makev Be'banav, Makev Bo. Davar Sheinu Makev Be'banav, and Makev Bo. Again, this idea of Banav and Aaron, the two of them are paralleled here. So therefore, something that's problematic for the Banav is also problematic for Aaron. Something that's not problematic for the Banav is not problematic for Aaron. Therefore, the first Tvila and Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, when he goes in, the first one of the day, is Makev for everybody. So just like it's Makev for everybody, it's going to Makev for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. The remaining Tvilot and Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, which the Henry Nejil doesn't do, and certainly for the Kohen Gadol, it's not going to be Makev. So they answered up. Rabbi Yochanan gave an answer, but he said, my answer is not good enough. That's what he was saying to Rav Asi. I don't know why you're getting excited. My answer has a problem with it. They come and answer for Rabbi Yochanan and say, no, maybe we can answer for you. In Ochanami, that from the Parsha Achrei Mot, you would say, no, that they don't have to do it in the morning. But we have other psukim that indicate that any avoda that applies to a Kohen Gadol will be ma'aki for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. And what's that? That's Rechitzat Yadayim Raglaim in the morning. Rabbi Yonatan, my time alone, Rabbi Techizkiah. Why did Rabbi Yonatan not use the reason of Chizki, Amar Lecha, Ulu Dorotu Dichtiv. That pasuk is coming to teach you exactly what it said. Vayta Lehem, Chak Olam, Lo, Ulu Zaro, the Dorotam. This will be a chok for him, forever, and his Zaro after him. Meaning that's not just applicable to Yom HaShmini, or the Shiva Yimei HaMiluim. This applies even to Dorot. So we need the word the Dorot to tell us that it's not just a one-time affair. That this is a permanent affair that you have to wash the hands. That's Rabbi Yonatan didn't say like Rabbi Chizkiah, but what about Chizkiah? Why don't he say like Rabbi Yonatan? My time alone, my arm, mihai mibayi le the krav Yosef Rabbi Chanina, because he needs the pasuk that Rabbi Yonatan brought down in order to use it for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. The Rabbi Yosef Chanina kol kior shein bo kadesh arbak ar kohanim mimenu ein mekachin bo. Any kior that is not holding enough water that 4 people can wash their hands and feet in it, it's not a good kior. Shneamar says, Rechutzu mimenu, Moshe, Varon, Ubanav. You have Moshe, and Aaron, which is 2, and Banav, which is in plural, is 2. So that's a minimum of 4 people. So it has to be that a minimum of 4 people can wash their hands from the kior in order that it be a kosher kior, the water inside be kosher to be Mekadesh Yadayim Raglaim. They learn out of this puzzle. And we did this, if you remember, back in Avodah Zarah, we discussed this on the daf with Tanit Shaot, which is that the Gemara there discusses about what did Moshe wear during the Shiva Yimei HaMiluim. And there they said that he wore a chaluk lavan. Now here it says, V'chatzu mimenu Moshe, V'aron ubanav. Well, when Moshe was a Kohen, Aaron was not a Kohen. When Aaron was a Kohen, Moshe was not a Kohen. Rashi points that out over here. That after Moshe a Kohen ayah b'Shiva Yimei HaMiluim, Moshe was the Kohen during the Shiva Yimei HaMiluim. And when did Aaron become the Kohen? He became the Kohen only in Yom HaShmini. Nevertheless, even though they were not Kohanim Bevat Achat, but since the Pasuk put them together, that's the Drusha. Now, we do have, if you remember, we have a Girsa in Rashi, the Ramban had such a Girsa in Rashi, and we have a Machlokas about Yom HaShmini, whether Moshe was involved in Yom HaShmini. Is it true that on Yom HaShmini, Moshe was also a Kohen, and he did the Avodah on Yom HaShmini? Or, we saw the Ramban wants to suggest that it's only applied to Yom HaShvi, the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim. Say Moshe Aron Vanav, that means Moshe during the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, and Aron Vanav on Yom HaShmini, the way that Rashi explains it over here. If you do that, it's a harder explanation of how you get to the four Kohanim, all being at once. Well, the Rashi says it's just because they're in the Pasuk together, that's why. But we saw in Chumash that the Ramban quotes a Rashi, the source that Rashi says that Moshe served on Yom HaShmini as well as Aron Vanav. Turn Banan. Ketzad mitzvat kiddush. How do you do washing the hands? Put your right hand on your right foot. And your left hand on your left foot. Umikadesh. And then you do the richitza. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah, Omer, miniach shtei yadav, zu agabizu. Put one hand on top of the other hand. Val gabei shtei raglav, zu agabizu. And then he puts them on top of his feet, which are also on top of each other. Umikadesh. And then he washes his hands. So you have one foot on top of the other foot, and then you took your hands on top of each other and placed them on top of those feet. So the Gemara says the obvious question, how do you do such a thing? Could you wash? It's like an acrobatic act that you have to do that. Amarlo, haflakto. You're exaggerating. You can't do such a thing. How could you? Nobody can stand there like that, one foot on top of the other, and hands on top of the feet. Nobody's going to be able to do this. So my sabi kamarle. This is a good question on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What's he thinking? So I'm a Rabbi Yosef, a chavero misayo, that his friend helps him. He leans on his friend, or his friend holds him up while he's doing this. So that's the answer. The answer is, of course he can't do this by himself, but he has someone to help him. The Gemara says, my benayu, what's an afkamina meaning between them? I'm Rabbi Amida min atzadika benayu, that when someone helps you to stand up, is that considered amida or not considered amida? So over here, we're going to see in a second why, but we require you to stand up when you do Kiddush Yadayim Ragalayim. So what does that mean? Do you have to stand up of your own volition? Or if something else is happening when you stand up, you're also considered to be standing up. That's the Machlokas. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda believes when you're helped by another item, you're still considered to be standing up. The Tana Kamo says, no, that when it comes to standing up, you've got to stand up of your own volition, otherwise you're not standing up. So Gemara says, Amalei Rav Sama, Bered the Ravashi, the Ravina, the Leitiv. Let him sit down to wash his hands. Leitiv, Meitiv, Lukadesh. Let him sit down. That is not so hard to have your hand on top of your hand over your feet and then wash your hands. That's easy to do when you're sitting down. He says you can't sit down. You know why? The Pasuk says, by working in the Mikdash, it says, Amakra, Lesheret, Besherut, Me'umadhu. And when it comes to Sherut, they must be standing up. Because it says, La'amod u'l'sharet. So since it's La'amod u'l'sharet, and over here by Rechitzat Yadayim Raglayim, it also says, L'sharet. It says by Rechitzat Yadayim, O b'gishtan al-mizbeach, L'sharet. So when they're coming to the Mizbeach to be Sharet, Misharet, that's in the Parsha of Rechitzat Yadayim Raglayim. So there you see the word Sharet. So Sharet indicates to you that it's an avoda of Sherut. Avoda Sherut, we have to do La'amod u'l'sharet. You have to be standing when you do Sherut. So the mafkamina between them is what's considered to be standing up. Standing up only when you stand of your own volition, or when you stand aided by something else, that's called standing. Tosus over here brings one example, and we have it, it's nafkamina lalocha that we have every day. The Tosus says here, Amida min etzad yigabinao, the Rabbanan lo shmei Amida min etzad, minireh, shekorim mit Torah, when they read the Torah, shalol lismoch, don't lean when you're reading the Torah. Shem damar v'megila, it says in the Gemara Megila, to Torah by Amida, you have to stand when you're reading the Torah. Just like it was given when people were trembling in fear standing there, so too when one reads the Torah, you have to be in that same state of Ema, Yira, Beretet. So you have to be standing when you do it. Standing, you know what standing means? Standing means not leaning on anything. So therefore, if you're reading the Torah, you can't lean on it. We also have it by Shemoneh Esrei, by Tefillah. Same din. When someone is davening Tefillah, and you have a shtender in front of you, so if you place your hands on the shtender, is that a problem in terms of davening? So the halacha, or how we determine is, how do you know whether you're being someich or not? We take away the shtender. If we take away the shtender and your hands are there and you wouldn't fall down, no problem. That's not called smicha. Then if you're leaning on the shtender to the point where if they pull the shtender out, you're going to fall over, that's called smicha, and that's not amida anymore. That is not classified as amida. And since it's not classified as amida, then you can't, you know, it's not considered to standing up during Shemoneh Esrei. So anything that requires standing up means of your own volition without the aid of something else. Now without the aid of something else means that that is not propping you up. if you just lean your hands on it, if you are partially resting on it, but it's not supporting you totally, and if they pull it away, you will not fall down, that's not considered smicha. But this is an afkamina lalocha, not only here in terms of rechizat yadayim raglayim or sheirut in the mikdash, but in broader aspects like kriyat Torah and tefillah. Darabanan, kiddush yadav raglav bayom, ain't tzarich lekadesh b'layla. If he washes his hands during the daytime, he doesn't have to wash them again at night. He goes through to the night, he doesn't blow it through to the night. B'layla, tzarich lekadesh bayom. If he washed them at night, then when the new day comes, he has to wash them again, divrei Rabbi. Shaya Rabbi Omer, lina moelet b'kiddush yadayim raglayim. Overnight impacts on washing one's hands. That if you have lina, I mean, once a lota shachar comes, Sunday is considered to be lina left overnight in the mikdash and is problematic when it crosses over a lota shachar. So too, hands and feet that cross over a lota shachar, they are now problematic. They have a din of lina and they need to be washed again. But Blazer Rabbi Shimon Omer, in lina moelet b'kiddush yadayim raglayim. It doesn't affect it. A lota shachar has no impact on hands and feet, and therefore if you wash at night, you can go through the day without having to wash. Tanya Yidach, another bright. He's working on his Mizbeach all night. In the morning, when this dawn breaks, he's got to go and wash his hands. Since he already did this before he started doing the Avodah Mizbeach, he can go for 10 days straight and not do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. We need both of them. The first brayta, the reason that you have to watch when the dawn breaks is because you have interruptions in the avodah. He's not doing straight avodah through the night into the day. That's discrete avodot. He does one avodah now, one then he wants to come to avodah during the day. Over there, he requires kiddush yadayim raglayim v'baha. To lo pasak, the second brayta where he's working continuously, maybe there, ima modi le Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Maybe Rabbi would agree to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and say that you don't need new kiddush yadayim raglayim because you're in constant avodah. If you're only talking about the second brayta, there, by the case where it's constant avodah, that's where Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon said that you don't have to wash again. By the first brayta, where you do have hefsekot, you have interruptions between the avodah, maybe even modi le'ed rabbi, over there you would give the rabbi, so therefore tzricha, we need both of them. Now the verse says, my time with the rabbi. What's the reason behind rabbi? Tekhtiv, it says, begishtam, when they approach. Anytime they approach the mizbeach, they got to wash their hands. It's my time with the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning behind him? Tekhtiv, bevo'am. When they come in. So one says, bevo'am, when they enter the Mikdash, they have to wash, but then they don't have to wash again. Rabbi says, no, begishtam, anytime they approach the Mizbeach, they have to wash. How do you know what it's referring to? How do you know when, or day or night? How do you know what's going on? So the Gemara is going to basically answer this, or explain this now. Jez, wait, for both of them. So, ve'idach, ha'namikti bevo'am. Even according to Rabbi, who says that begishtam is the defining thing, it also says bevo'am. So the Gemara says, ikti begishtam, velokti bevo'am. Had it just said hagasha without bevo'am, havamina alko gisha begisha. I would think that you have to do it every time you approach the Mizbeach, you'd have to wash again. Bivoam comes to teach you that only when it's bivoam, only when you enter, the first time that you come in, you have to wash. Now bivoam over here is going to be defined as every time you enter the Mikdash, every time there's a new day in the Mikdash. So anytime there's a new day in the Mikdash, we reset, and you have to come in and do it again. V'idach nami akti b'gishtam. For Rabbi Elazar Rishimah says, we learn how to bevoam. Anytime you enter Mikdash, you do a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, but not every time you approach the Mizbeach. What do you do with the b'gishtam? Ikiti bevoam. Had just written bevoam, v'lo kiti b'gishtam, avamina afilu abia reikanit. Even if he comes empty-handed. Tzmar says, abia reikanit, akti l'sharet. It says in the Parsha of the Kiyor, that it has to be that they're coming, obishtam l'sbeach l'sharet. They're coming to do avoda. Of course you don't have to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim when you're doing nothing in there. Ela b'gishtam mi'boyle l'kudav Achar bar Yaakov. I need b'gishtam from the din of Achar bar Yaakov. D'amar Rav Achar bar Yaakov ha'kol modim b'kiddush sheni shulavush mikadesh. When he's dressed, he does the kiddush. D'amar Korah, the pasuk says, O b'gishtam. That when they come to approach the Mizbeach, they have to wash their hands. Mi sheni m'chusa ela gisha bilvad. Somebody only, the only thing between him and the Mizbeach is the gisha, approaching the Mizbeach. That's when you wash. If it's before he put on his clothing, then not only does after he wash his hands, he's got to put on his clothing, and then he's got to approach the Mizbeach. So there are two things interrupting. That doesn't work. Now what's this about? This is a machlokas in the Gemara and Yoma. It's a machlokas in the Gemara and Yoma. When it comes to the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, we know when the tefillah is. Tefillah is when he's undressed. When he has to do the tefillah, when he's completely undressed. But before he gets undressed, and after he gets dressed, when do we do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? When does he wash his hands? Is it before he puts on his clothing or after he puts on his clothing? Is it before he takes off his clothing or after he puts on his clothing? That happens to be a machlokas in the Gemara and Yom between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. The Rabbi Meir says, Pashat, First he takes his clothes off, he strips down, then Kiddush Yadav Raglav, and then he washes his hands and he does his tefillah. The Chachamim say no. At first he does Kiddush Yadav Raglav, and then afterwards he takes off his clothing and then does the tefillah. So now along comes Rabbi Yaakov, says that according to Rabbi Meir and according to the Chachamim, when it comes to leaving the mikveh and getting dressed again, everybody agrees he must dress first and then wash his hands. You would have thought Rabbi Meir, just like he has him wash his hands after he's undressed, maybe he should wash his hands before he gets dressed again. So along comes Rabbi Yaakov, says no, because the word begishtam teaches you that mishim mechusar gisha, someone who only is missing getting to the mizbech, that's when mechutz yadayim raglayim works. That's when using the kiyor works. But if he's also missing getting dressed, then the kiddush yadayim raglayim will not be efficacious, will not work at that time, and he'll have to wash again after he puts on his clothing. So Rabbi Meir will agree to the chachamim when it comes to redressing by the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim. When he redresses, that's only after he's dressed does he do the kiddush yadayim viraglayim, and that's what he will do with the extra word begishtam. Laktiri sheh lamali. Why does it say in the pasuk? It says bivoam bigishtam laktiri sheh. So why do you need three different things to tell you about what he's doing in the avoda? So far we explained bivoam bigishtam, each according to their own reasoning. Rabbi and Rabbi Lozer be Rabbi Shimon. Ma'od etema. What I would thought? Hani mile avoda de me'akva kapara. Only avoda that's me'akev kapara. Do you have to do washing of the hands? Avoda lo me'akva kapara lo. But some avoda that's me'akev kapara, like haktarat emurim. We know haktarat emurim is the mitzvah of anel la'ikov. Mashmalon, that he even has to wash his hands when it comes to something that's not ma'akev kapara. So even for akhtarat emurim, you still have to wash your hands when you're going in. So that's why you have the three words. Bivoam, bigishtam, laktir yishel Hashem. Each one of them teaches us a chiddush. Okay, according to Rabbi, it teaches us that every gisha requires a washing of the hands, but that's limited bivoam. Only once a day do you have to do that. According to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, only bivoam, only when you enter the Mikdash, do you have to wash? As long as you continue to do avodah, you don't leave and you don't have Pesach Adat, you can keep going even on a new day. Bigishtam teaches us a special din by a Kohen Gadol that when it comes to putting on his Bigadim again, he washes after putting on his Bigadim. And the Atil HaShel Hashem teaches us that it's even something that's not Makim for Kabbarah, you still have to wash your hands for that. Tosfos does ask about Rabbi, how does Rabbi know about the fact that you have to wash your hands after putting on the clothes? So he says, maybe Tartish Mamina, maybe he's able to learn two things out of that Pasuk, because he needs Gishtam also for Rabbi Yaakov. So he assumes that he can learn both of them out of the word Bigishtam. All right, we'll stop over here.